It's the True Faith Podcast. I'm Alex Hurst, joined by Mark Cowley and Ben Wade to talk about Manchester City versus Newcastle United this Saturday. First up, though, we can't ignore the mental news from last night with Mike Ashley ringing up Sky Sports and telling them that the deal for PCP, Amanda Stavely, to buy Newcastle United is off, if it was ever on, slash if he, you know, potentially talking a load of shite. So to go into that in a bit more detail, I've got from True Faith, Mick Martin. So Mick, what were your first thoughts last night when this news broke on Sky Sports, on their peak, on their most popular show, 7 p.m. Transfer Centre, that Mike Ashley, or a close source or whatever to Mike Ashley, had been in touch and said the deal was off? What did you think?
Well, firstly, the information I've got is that it was Mike Ashley himself who rang him, and that Mike might have had a drink last night, but that's speculation, obviously. How did I feel? Absolutely devastated, because this is the only show in town in terms of the takeover, and what it demonstrates is that there's nothing wrong with the PCP deal at all. And within about 20 minutes of actually making the statement that there was no bid, was evidently just detailed that, you know, we're 99.9% certain that there is a bid, and that the bid was submitted by PCP's solicitors, Fresh Fields, of whom Chris Mort is the lead representative for PCP. Putting that bid in, and that bid went in November. From what I can gather, there are two types of bid. I think Ashley himself invited an incremental kind of based bid, where the money would be paid in sections. I think there was a bid put in like that, and then he went back and asked for a one-off bid, a kind of a clean break bid, and the bid that went in was for £250 million. Which has been sitting on his table in Ashley Towers for the last month, while he's been on his tour of America, either gambling, drinking, whatever else he does when he's on his holidays. So I don't think he's been that engaged with the negotiations whatsoever. And it's not a question of the deal and how the deal's set up. The fundamental issue is that it's not enough for him. So I think he probably feels like he was being kind of put into a corner in terms of the deal itself, a put up a shut up deal, and I think what he has done now is responded aggressively and tried to shift the power play in the deal back to him being in control, because we all know, you know, from his business life, that he is the one that likes to be in control of the deal. So he's back in control of the deal, but I think Newcastle United is probably getting out of control on his watch yet again. So number of things to be worried about now. Firstly, relegation. Secondly, losing Rafa. So if we lose Rafa, he's the person that gives the whole club any credibility. He's the unifying force around the club, between the players, between the coaching staff, other staff at the club, and of course the supporters. So you take Rafa out of the equation and you replace him with some duck egg, Pardew-like, McLaren-like idiot who is just there to kind of be Ashley's bitch and earn a salary that he's desperate to get, and then you're into another toxic episode in Newcastle United's long and inglorious history. So that's kind of where you are at the moment. There must be a real fear that Rafa will walk at the end of the season, because frankly, nobody really believes about all of these other bids that are on the table. That they seem to be a pure invention. They're desperate talk. So if you can get people to believe that, then more fool them. Personally, I think we're at risk of really coming off the rails again.
Do you think from what you've read in the media and people you've got contact with, do you think this will in any way rattle or affect PCP partners? Do you think they've probably, you know, I think some journalists are suggesting, I think Luke Edwards and Craig Hope are suggesting that they've underestimated Mike Ashley. Would you give any credence to that?
Well, I don't think they have underestimated Mike Ashley. I think what Mike Ashley did last night was wholly irrational and bizarre and eccentric and surreal. So I don't think anyone can accuse anyone of underestimating Mike Ashley. He's a very kind of unique type of businessman. So why he would have went on Sky Television at peak time last night and phoned them up and had a little rant about things that were completely wrong and come up with some absolutely bizarre statement about, if you want to talk to me, you've got to put some money in the bank. You know, that is mental and very quickly demonstrated to be mental, and I'm quite pleased with how George Corgan handled all that. You know, you have to provide proof of funds before you do the due diligence and all of that kind of thing, and Mike Ashley's well aware of that. He's done plenty deals himself. So that was bizarre, but it did echo to what Lambaya said a number of years ago, which was they'll have to buy a box if they want to think about buying the club. These are just throwaway crazy remarks that they make when they're under pressure. So they are under pressure now. One of the interesting things, and I'm no financial analyst on the subject, but is to maybe focus on other parts of Mike Ashley's business empire. So, you know, we hear about him needing liquidity on, listen to me, liquidity lad from Gateshead, talking about his investments in Chelsea Harbour, needing money for shares, etc. A lot of that is, of course, speculative. But, you know, for example, if he's involved in property development in London, that's always going to give him a hell of a lot more money than he would ever get out in Newcastle United, you know, which is coppers in comparison to those types of projects. So those kinds of things are important. Whether or not Amanda Staveley is across those things remains to be seen, or whether or not anyone else is across those things, we don't know. But we do know that Mike Ashley preys on distressed businesses. He's got a business portfolio of previously depressed business ventures, of which Newcastle United is one. So you wonder whether or not the people who are looking to buy are aware of all of these things, how much pressure Ashley is under himself, because he's famously said he hasn't got any money. So, you know, we don't know where the deal is at. We don't know what the amount of pressure that is on Ashley to sell. But sell he must, otherwise the club is going to go into free fall. And if he wants an indication of how bad things may turn out, he's just got to look down at at Sunderland, because that is a future that could very quickly creep up on Newcastle United. And we're not immune from that kind of fate. And that 250 million quid that's on the table today, and it is on the table today, certainly won't be on the table for a club that's in the Championship tanking it, with supporters, you know, deserting the club left, right and centre. And that is what will happen if we go down again and Rafa leaves.
Yeah, I mean, already you've seen Ashley out, mobilise again. They've not been active for a long time. Supporters Trust have done a great statement tonight on the news. Things are different this time. I think I hope he gets the message, and all the people who feed things back and get the message. So this is different. What you've done this time is you know, because he sent the whole of Newcastle United fan base into meltdown last night through a few, you know, what, 80 words or something like that, 50 to 80 words. Nothing from the club as usual. Mick, just finally, can you just give your opinion once and for all on the notion that this will somehow, this proclamation from Ashley or Ashley's people will somehow translate into transfer spend for Rafa in the last 2 weeks of the transfer window?
Complete nonsense. That won't happen. Don't believe a word he says. So, you know, the press are full of, you know, the green light's been given on some transfer spends. You know, well, until the three players have signed three players for, you know, 18, 20, 30 million, etc. Let's just park that one. The best Benitez will get is loan deals. I gather he's only allowed to get two. So, you know, whatever is brought in will be coppers in terms of the money that's spent. But the folly in that is Emmanuel Riviere, Gabriel Aubertin, all of these players, Xavier, all of these players who come in and I quickly found not to be the bargains that people imagine them to be. You know, the Josselus who can't score, all of these kinds of players will eventually drag you right down if you continue buying them. So that's the risk. So no, I don't think there'll be any spends for Rafa, and I think Ashley is gambling with the future of the club. And if the situation doesn't change by the end of the season, I think for his own good, Rafa Benitez needs to leave the club and to its own devices, because he shouldn't rot with us.
Wise words there from Mick. I can't disagree with anything that he said. Only thing to add on to that before we move on to the Man City game is that I'm inclined to believe the exact opposite of what Mike Ashley says. So if he says that the deal is dead, I'd imagine it's not dead. And if he says it's been tiring and frustrating dealing with PCP, I imagine it's been neither. Though I can imagine dealing with him would be both. And as Mick said, it's allegedly that he called in Sky Sports last night, allegedly pissed, but we're not going to that. Football, and we'll have Man City this weekend. What a fixture in these crisis-ridden times, Cowley. I think you're making one of your first podcast appearances of the season, so welcome. Thanks. Obviously, it's a ridiculously massive task for us to get anything from this game. My question to you is, how good are Manchester City? Can we get anything from this game? Are they in a run of poor form? And does it mean anything?
In terms of the first question, Man City, very good side. I think you said, is the league a lot poorer this season? But I think they're looking like 7 or 8 season, I think they would have won the league. If you're going from the teams of recent years, I think they're up there with like the Chelsea's, Mourinho first stint, and Man U and when Ronaldo was playing for them. So, yeah, I think they would have won the league last 7 or 8 seasons. In terms of, is it the best time to play them? A lot of people I've spoke to and seen on Twitter have like the backlash of what happened, getting beat off Liverpool 4-3. But I go against that, because you want to play a team that, in the last 2 weeks, have drew against Palace 0-0.
Yeah.
Have just beat Bristol 2-1. Last minute goal, and then conceded 4 against Liverpool. So if confidence is going to be a bit lower than what it has been, you don't want to play on momentum when they're winning games, smashing teams. So I think it is probably a better time to play them, because you've seen last week the way Liverpool played, there's mistakes in them. Defensively, there's questions to be asked. Edison, they made him look like Bravo. So I think it would be a good time. On the other hand, I read today, it's the first time Man City have had a week off, excluding the national breaks, since August. So, on the other hand, they've had a full week. And if you look at their performances, many pundits have said they look a bit tired, playing in every competition, and obviously twice a week, and obviously over the Christmas period as well. They've had a lot of games. So they've had a full week to prepare now, and obviously get beat off Liverpool, they've put the wrong to rights, really. And one big thing I think as well is Silva last few weeks, I guess he's back because he's on the bench against Liverpool, but obviously never come on. So I think he is obviously massive for them, because I think he's, apart from De Bruyne, is their best player.
Has he played against Mo Diame though?
Has he played against Mo Diame?
In centre midfield.
That's probably terrifying, isn't it?
Probably
so
has.
Terrifying.
He probably has, but yeah, that's obviously massive for them, for him to come back.
De Bruyne, Silva, and I don't know who else is midfield for City. Gundogan against Diame.
How you say Gundogan?
Gundogan. Against Diame and Saive. Like,
Saive's off. I was going to talk about that, allegedly.
Is he?
He's on his way, yeah.
Oh well, shop window worked.
Hi. See, Carly, can we get anything? How do we get anything?
Can we get anything? Let's be optimistic then. Yes, well, if we play the way we did last time, I think the debate is if we're going to park the bus or press them high at Liverpool. We can't do press them high. Teams like Liverpool have worked on that all season. That's the way they play under Klopp. We're not set out to do that.
It's easy to press high when you've got Firmino, Salah and...
exactly, yeah.
We're not Liverpool. It's mental.
But I mean, even like Bristol, they did that as well, not as the extent of Liverpool, But he played, he didn't park the bus, he had a bit of a go at him. So people will look at that game and think, why can't we if Bristol did? But the way we set out against them last time is, I mean, we didn't watch it as we were going the great trip that day, Si. But looking on social media afterwards and seeing the highlights, it obviously was horrible to watch, but at the end of the day, we nearly got something from that game. We were always in it. Being 1-0, you're always in a game. I think we were well organised, work rate it was great. We just didn't keep the ball well enough. I just dug on Twitter because we were obviously away in Australia and the game wasn't on. We were just seeing the ball was coming back far too quickly. We couldn't hold the ball up. And that's one of the things I think Rafa said after the game. We just worked well and organised, but it was just the fact that we couldn't keep the ball. So we need to do a lot better with the ball, really, and rather than them attack us. They did miss a lot of chance. They did have a lot of chances. Rob Elliott did make a few saves as well. But we obviously still 1-0 in the game, and then I think brought Atsu and Gail on, did he? And then we pressed them a bit high, and obviously that chance at the end. Aaron's had a good, great chance just after the goal, and then Gail had a, could have been 1-1. Yeah. So I think we've got to play the same way, really. I don't think we can do what Liverpool did. We haven't worked in that all season. That's the way I think we're going to have, like, get a result as long as we can keep in the game as long as possible. And things that we can take from the game like last week is try and keep De Bruyne a bit quiet and isolate Aguero. But it's going to be bloody hard.
I couldn't agree more. It's going to have to be exactly the same approach as it was to the home game. We're going to have to contain them and try and stay in the game. That might be 1-0 down, that might be 2-0 down with, you know, 10-15 minutes to go. And then, as you say, bring on a little bit of what we've got in terms of pace for a bit of a counter-attack and go at them for the last 10 minutes. And that's all we're going to really do in this game. We haven't got the players to try and press Man City for 90 minutes. That's never, ever going to happen. We've showed even in games where we have tried to do that, Man U, Chelsea, like, we've got half an hour of that in, but we kind of do it for a whole game, so it doesn't really work. I think what you've just touched on as well there is from the home game, has been symptomatic of all of our home games, that we've been quite wasteful in possession. We've given it away too cheaply, too much, which at home has been a big problem, even against bad teams, because we're just not creating chances because we're just playing sloppy passes, doing silly things. I don't know if it's the pressure of playing at home or what it is, but away from home, it's just not been the case. We've been very slick. We've been very efficient with the ball away from home, which is why if we're putting a similar performance, maybe this time we could nick something, because
there's an easy answer there. It's because we'll have a lot less of the ball away from home, so we'll have less chances to.
That's true, but we're not as wasteful. You know, we've played home games where we've had not that much possession, but then when we do get it, we're just
I suppose Man City would be a point of that, wouldn't it?
So you never know. I think if we can put in a defensively sound performance with the cells obviously in the team, we know that's always a bonus. And just hang on, as you say, we can frustrate them through to half time, frustrate them a bit longer, even at 1-0 down. If you can get to the last 15 minutes where a goal would make you a point, I think we're capable of that.
I think if you look at some of the performances, like from West Ham and Southampton, they both had, 20-odd% possession of the ball, and they obviously sat deep, but just a couple of counter-attacks, really. I think both of them took the lead, did they not?
Yeah,
obviously both came back and won it both late on, so I mean, if we were to take a lead, it'd be great, but I mean, I couldn't see it happen, but you never know. Like I said, they sat back and then they let the defence, if a ball at the top, depends who we're starting with. You've seen from Saturday they can make mistakes, so
first goal is crucial, like you mentioned there. They struggled at home against West Ham and Southampton. They obviously drew with Everton on the opening day. I know it sounds obvious, but they went behind in all of those games. Yeah. So obviously you get the first goal. We're not talking about a win, but at least you're talking about holding on to something. I think the template for this performance is probably Arsenal. I was thinking, like you, Si, will we see a Man United? Will we see, you know what, fuck this, have a go at them? Chelsea wasn't as, you know, avant-garde as Man United, but it was still attacking early doors. And then you saw Arsenal, and I think Arsenal's was a lot more natural for this team away from home. We sat deep, we used the ball a lot better. We created a few openings in the first half. We were 1-0 down, but we stayed in the game at 1-0 till 80 minutes. And then we had a good go, and we had a few chances, and we could have got a point. So I think you're going to see that far more than you know, maybe we're mental half an hour at Man United, which will live long in the memory for those of us that were there, and maybe people watching as well. But in doing that, Si, if we all agreed that, you know, there isn't going to be some kind of win the ball high strategy, what team would you select for the weekend?
I think the defence probably picks itself.
You'll go with set piece for this, won't you?
You'll go with Dummer, because defensively, I mean, people say defensively, he got his pants taken down by Dyer quite a few times against Swansea, which isn't good, but he's good in the air.
Thing I'd say, Si, sorry, is that at least it happened like in our half.
Yeah.
He didn't get his pants taken down where it mattered.
Yeah. Obviously, we know Lascelles and Clark were well together, and I think just... I'd love to see Chancellor in there, because I think he's class, but that's not going to happen.
Could we see a 5-3-2? Could we see a Chelsea? You know, he did it at Chelsea.
It's not. Yeah, it's the only formation that Chancellor gets a game in. So there isn't. If we play three at the back, and Bembe will be the third, I think he's got to play Yedlin. I do like Mankiw. I think he offers us something different. But Yedlin, especially with the pace man that you've got, he's the only player who might be able to track back and prevent a goal scoring opportunity where they've got him behind. So I think he's quite valuable in that situation. So that defence is pretty much, it'll probably be the same. Centre mids, there's no way Shelby plays this game. I think Diame has been our best player in the last three or four, so he goes in. It's probably a Hayden game, because he'll work hard and he can put the hard miles in, because there's going to be a lot of running to keep up with, as you say, De Bruyne. So that's my midfield, I reckon, Diame and Hayden. It's very, very defensive at this point. Richie probably grafts his way into the team again. Atsu, and well, I think if you want an outlet, because we're going to need something to get out of our own half, I'd probably go with Murphy, just because he's got a bit more flair than Atsu. Atsu's got pace, but we're not going to be in a position to put balls in for him, so he'll be wasted. At least Murphy can run with the ball, carry it a bit, and maybe try and get us a bit of relieved pressure. And then it's going to have to be Big Hoss, because again, we need something to aim for. Which leaves you with, I don't know, Perez and number 10 away from home is almost pointless, but probably what he'll do. The alternative is Gale, but then you're playing with two strikers, which would be almost perversely
too attacking.
It would be weird playing
two strikers at Man City away, not against Swansea home.
So for me, it's all the players who are going to work the hardest, because that's what it's going to take, at least for the first 60 minutes. You probably save Gale, actually, for the last half an hour. You do the same with Marino. You probably even do the same with Shelby. Put him on when the game is tiring a bit, to see if he can pick out that pass that gets with that nicks or something.
Depending on what happens tonight, Si, we've got Manchester City away and then Chelsea away. Most likely, we're recording before Norwich play Chelsea. Most likely, I can't see Norwich winning at Stamford Bridge.
No.
Which is the more important game, this one or next weekend?
That's actually a really hard question. Because this is a free pass as far as I'm concerned. A point is a massive bonus. Not getting beat, you know, keeping the goal difference respectable would also be okay, as long as we pick up points elsewhere. The cup run is kind of the only thing left to get excited about this season, so I'd love not to get knocked out of the cup. I think
I'd love to get a replay about St James's Chelsea. That would be nice.
I want Chelsea to win tonight, because we'll lose at Norwich, so we might as well. If we're going to go out, Chelsea.
Norwich are a bottom half championship side, so like.
Exactly, we always get put out by them. I think you're right. I don't know if you feel the same way, actually, but I think the cup's more important than this.
Carly, what do you think?
I'll probably go with the cup, just because how people have a meltdown, the amount of times we've obviously gone on the third or fourth round, but. I just think momentum, if you want to try and get a good cup run together, hopefully Norwich can beat Chelsea, which is not going to happen, but you never know. I think, like you said, it's a free pass, really. No one expects us to go.
Is it the free pass, though? Because goal difference is so important. We'll have the best goal difference in the bottom half of the league. Is it? It's not a free pass in terms of you can't get done 5-0.
Yeah, you can't get done 5-0.
Would 2-0, with a 2-0 defeat?
We might get done 5-0.
Would you take a 2-0 defeat right now, Carly?
Would I take a 2-0 defeat right now?
You can't say that.
You can't think when you're taking a defeat. It's hard, but
no Newcastle fan can.
The thing is, how positive everyone's after the 1-0 defeat. After I remember going before speaking to myself, like, everyone thought we were going to get beat 4-5-0.
Yeah.
And then I don't know what the feeling was like on the ground, because we were away, but like in social media and on Twitter, everyone was quite positive.
Yeah.
Because they expected to get beat 4-5-0, but they showed that we're good defensively, playing holes in the game, and obviously goal difference, it was great. Only 1-0, where teams were getting obviously 3 or 4 against them. So it's hard to say when you're taking a defeat, but if you're gonna get beat, obviously, would happen. You have 2-0, yeah. Some of the goal lines I've seen.
I think we can beat them. Like,
tell us how.
Because right, I just think first of all, Man City are due a defeat, aren't they? There's no other, no higher point in the season. Oh, they are, that shit. They're due a defeat at home. I totally forgot about that. Oh, they're not due a defeat. I don't know. I just think will we get beat?
You wait for Man City defeat and then two come at once.
They're due a defeat against the bottom of the half.
Exactly. We're due a result against the top half team.
Exactly. Yeah.
Which is it? We're unlucky. We've been unlucky recently, particularly at home. So we're due some. I mean, we've got a big slice of mud. Diame's fucking forearm smashing the ball away from the goal.
A better save than both of our keepers have made this season.
But you know, I just feel like our away form has been good. We won our last two away games. We've created loads of chances, like you said, Cowley. Man City look a little bit vulnerable on the break at home. I think with Diame putting in the performances, I reckon he'll smash Kevin De Bruyne early on in the game. Knock his confidence out.
What about Silva?
David Silva still has nightmares from when Newcastle turned them over 2-0 in the League Cup, which I'll talk about later.
Was he playing that game, was he?
He got subbed after 7 minutes, but he was still playing. He's still carrying the mental fragility from that. He hasn't shown it in other games we've played Man City since, but he'll show it in this one. Aguero played that game. I'll come on to that game in a bit, but I don't know. I just feel like you said on one of the recent podcasts that we thought that one of the strengths this season under Rafa would be the ability to scratch, like a Liverpool at home, to scratch out points against the top sides, and for whatever reason it hasn't happened. But I just feel like the team plays with such a confidence away from home at the minute. That I feel it would be a mistake to go with an overly defensive side. You know what, Si, you're 99 times 100, you're right. I'd like to see him go with a cheeky like Jacob Murphy, Matt Ritchie and Christian Atsu all in the same team like Stoke, or he played Atsu almost as a second striker. You'd have to play Hosslou. He'll play Hosslou without a doubt, because he needs someone to hold the ball up and he needs someone to win headers when we're under pressure. But I'd like him to play maybe Atsu off Hosslou. Play Murphy and Richie on the wings, and then play Shelby with Diame. And you know what, say to Shelby, and this is why we're better at using the ball away from home, because you can hit it into empty spaces, and it's a lot more, you know, you're playing, it's a lot more percentage ball than having to play the ball directly to someone's feet when they're surrounded by defenders. And I just think for that reason, if we could, you know, at home it's much harder getting a 10, getting a 20, getting a 40 without conceding, because you've got the home crowd on your back, you've got the expectation of where the home side. I think we'll see a really comfortable side, knowing the pressure's off, like Green Street says, at the City of Manchester. And I just like to think that I don't think that we'll make any catastrophic mistakes. Now, if you look at Man City's goal at our place, yes, they could have scored several other goals, but they never really, I know we've only seen highlights, they never really got in behind, apart from that one Sterling. And I can't remember who it was. Someone might have been Monkey, I don't know. Someone didn't track him, totally lost him. And Rob Elliott. Does a Robert late and he doesn't come out, and he should have come out and closed the angle down. And it's like, yeah, I know Man City dominated, but they capitalised on that one mistake, and I don't think we haven't been making mistakes recently away from home. So that's maybe in positive.
The one thing I want to go back to Hostel, obviously, we'll probably start him, but as an outlet. But this, the game, St James's, you say that, but we never really cut the ball and it kept coming back. So for us, Man City defender, that's very much easy to defend against Hosslou, where if you put Gale, as you've seen, like...
Or even Perez.
And Perez, a bit of pace. Let them face goal, not the other way. Give them like balls over the top. But again, if you're going to play someone in midfield who can do that, he's probably not going to start Shelby, who's going to hit the ball over the top. But I don't know, that's what I was thinking about. Just he's going to probably end up playing him, but if it's going to be like the reverse fixture, we didn't really keep the ball well and it wasn't really kept there, so
no, but I just
essentially go with Gale. But then if you want to keep in the game and obviously do that next, like the last 30-20 minutes, I guess that's what you're probably going
to
go for.
It'll be interesting to see what team we pick for Saturday compared to the team we pick at Chelsea, because I have a feeling the team I want to see Saturday will probably play at Chelsea because it's a cup tie.
Yeah.
Because it's against Chelsea, who are in bad form. I think 3-0 in a row now, which is shite for them. Well, excluding the night, obviously.
Carroll will be playing next
week. Andy Carroll again for Chelsea.
Never scores against Swift.
So how many goals are we going to have to score then, Dogger, if we're going to beat them?
You're right, I reckon 3-2 Newcastle.
What's wrong with Chelsea?
Oh, Chelsea. I think it's not outside the realm of possibility.
Three goals.
I know I should bag it. I know it'll be like.
I guess the last time I scored three goals, but West Ham.
All right, West Ham.
3-2 at Chelsea in the Cup's realistic. 3-2 at Man City in the league is just mental.
I know. By the way, if anyone has any spare tickets, can you please give us a shout at TF Weekly Pod? Because Norman, who's not doing the podcast tonight, he's hosting the True Faith Podcast Social down London with Bolland. So he wants to go to the game. He thought he could make it, but he could now go. So if anyone has a spare, please give us a shout. We'll happily replicate that with other spares later in the season. I use on having me 3-2 shout. Maybe I'm not having it, but I'd rather dare to dream than just think, oh, you know, we're gonna. And that's, Carol, you made a good point against Man City at home. I had to follow the game on Twitter. Used to off Gallivanton down the east coast of Australia.
Great Ocean Road.
The Great Ocean Road, and I was in bed following the match on Twitter because I didn't have a strong enough Wi-Fi signal.
We were following the match on Cosmo's Twitter because none of us had data.
Aye.
It was painful way to watch the match.
And everyone pre-match is like, oh shit, we're going to get beat 5-0, we're going to beat 10-0. And then your usual assholes are like, fuck's sake, this is shite, this, get out, like, get on the ball. Like, it was like, it was almost like you said, Cowley, it was better than people expected. Well, I say this is going to be better than people expected. And people are saying we're going to get beat. And we might not win 3-2, but it could happen. What do you think, Cowley? What do you think the score will be?
I'll go for 1-1.
1-1. That's pretty positive so far from the True Faith podcast. You would expect nothing less, listener. Go on, Si.
Yeah, no, 1-1, same. I think we'll... No, forget it. 2-1, Newcastle.
2-1, Newcastle. Get your money on. I mean, it's a big weekend as well because, I mean, Stoke with Paul Lambert, which is mental, play Huddersfield. Any other big games? I'm sure Brighton play...
check
someone, yeah. Carol, you have a check there. It's just a massive game, and I think
Brighton play Chelsea,
all right.
But is it Brighton? I think,
yeah. If we can finish the weekend outside of the relegation zone again, it's positive. If we can get into Burnley outside of the relegation zone, Burnley and Palace in the space of 4 days outside of the relegation zone, I'd take that now. So forget about the results of this weekend. Realistically, it's more important that other results go our way than this one because it is likely a defeat. Despite our positivity. Any other games, lad, this weekend that are worrying for us?
Everton, West Brom, but it's Everton, so...
For Everton with Theo Walcott signed today.
Yeah, I think he should do them.
You'd hope so. I don't trust Allardyce.
Nothing else. West Ham, Bournemouth.
That's a big one, West Ham. That's a chance for West Ham to put it to bed, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
No in West Ham, because it was also the chance against us to put their relegation fears to bed. They got turned over, so... West Ham Bournemouth's a big one. You kind of feel like the relegation picture at the moment, it is the bottom three, us, Southampton, and maybe one more, and maybe one at Brighton and Huddersfield.
Yeah, I think Brighton and Huddersfield go in.
One of them will slip.
They're both rubbish, man.
They're both spending money, though.
Yeah, Southampton are down there. So there's six teams for three relegation spots. Seven teams. I think we talked about it after the Bournemouth home game. They're a good enough side not to go down.
Yeah, they've got enough goals.
They've showed it quite a few times.
They'll score. You know, yeah. I found really annoying about the weekend. Bournemouth got to play Arsenal without Ozil and Sanchez.
Yeah.
Fucking the best players against us. Obviously, Ozil scores despite Rob's best.
We get a result against that. The way we played, if they didn't have both of them.
Aye.
Because of a ridiculous goal from Ozil, which...
Totally agree.
Rob Elliott could have saved, but...
Yeah, middle of the goal.
To finish off, I just want to take us back to... I think it was Halloween. 2014. I'll set the scene. This is just to give everyone a bit of positivity, right? If we haven't already done that. Set the scene, right? Newcastle are shit. Shock. Under Alan Pardew. Relegation zone. We bought in some players that summer. We bought in Big Emmanuel Riviere. We bought in Jack Colback on a free. Dario Yamat, Ayoze Perez. So for Newcastle, it was a big summer of spending. Pardew was really, really unpopular, and many think that Pardew achieved his finest result as Newcastle manager whilst trying to throw a cup game, which was our televised win at Champions Manchester City on in the League Cup third round. I went to the game, travelled from Newcastle, went to the game, tickets were literally a £5 or something or a £10, so fair play Man City for doing that. And went with my mate Andy, who was living in Manchester at the time, and it was one of those games. I met up with Mick, who was on the podcast earlier, and the pub, and everyone's talking about, at what point do you leave? Do you leave at 5? Do you leave at 4? And then the team sheet hits. And then the team sheet hits. So you know Alan Armstrong, who's played for League One Blackburn, up front by himself. On the other flank, Gabriel Obertan. Rolando Aaron's making his full league debut. Injuries, Ryan Taylor playing centre mid. And this isn't the Ryan Taylor of like 2011-12. This is shite Ryan Taylor, who John Carver later that season tries to build a team around. It doesn't work. Mike Williamson is playing. Yeah. Rob Elliott, who doesn't get anywhere near the first team, is in goal. Have you got the team there, Cody?
Yeah, that's how Williamson didn't play.
Did Williamson not play? It felt like you did. Haidara. Mehdi Abid, Jack Ryan Taylor, Jack Colback, and Gabby Obertan is Newcastle's midfield to play at Man City. Man City's team, by the way,
Paul Dummett centre half, because Haidara played as well.
Yeah, this isn't Man City's like under 18s who probably would have won. This is Bakary Sagna, Mangala, who probably played at the weekend, so he's still there. Kolarov, Milner, Fernandinho, Yaya Toure, Silva, Aguero, Nasri, Jovetic, Dzeko. This is like, it's Man City's first team.
It is.
It's Manchester City's first team. Like the on the bench, they had Navas, Fernando, Zabaleta, Hart. Like, that is Manchester City's first team. And we went and we turned them over 2-0 and we should have won more. We absolutely played them off the park. Big Moussa come on and scored an absolute blinder. That Rolando Aarons has still fucking like got a career off that one. 45 minutes. He had to go off at half time. He tore them a new one. Ryan Taylor was brilliant. Obertan, I remember in the second half, I don't know if you remember this, Obertan just got taken out in the box, last man. 1-0 up, and you're just like, pen, red card. You got nowhere near the ball. Try and watch the highlights on YouTube if you can't remember the game. The typical Newcastle, it is the most blatant penalty you've ever seen. The bloke, I think it's Kolarov or DeMichelis, just realises he's through on goal and just takes him out. Doesn't get anywhere near the ball. No pen, no red card. Couldn't believe it. We just thought, here we go again. Rob Elliott made a couple of saves, but didn't have to do anything spectacular. And if that team with Alan Armstrong up front and Ryan Taylor and Paul Dummett and Haidara, if that team can go and win 2-0 at Manchester City under Alan Pardew in a game he tried to throw with that team selection, we could win this weekend. I promise you.
I thought it was going to be our time for the cup. What was the next game? Was the next game of Tottenham?
Spurs away.
Yeah. So I was ill. We just got back from Germany. I was like, I was not going to go, but I thought...
Kicked off when you said, I was like, you're coming.
Yeah, I was like, we're going to beat these. We're going to win the cup this year. Just from Man City result, it's all, definitely our year. And then, yeah.
We won at Palace as well. So it was like, winning Palace is decent. And won...
Spurs was quarter final. There was another round in between them.
Spurs was directly before... Man City was directly before Spurs. Because I remember like being at the... Looking at the draw. Like,
it must have been November though, because October to December was like the week before Christmas.
Oh, was it? So it maybe it was. Big,
yeah. It was the fourth round. I'm sure we played a League One team. Oh, we played Brighton.
Nah. We're getting it there.
We played whoever Gus Poyet was managing.
We didn't, man.
We
played Brighton in FA Cup games and got beat.
But in the League Cup?
In the League Cup, we didn't play. Gus Poyet was managing Sunderland at the time.
If you just sit tight.
If we just sit tight. There's no way we played. I'm pretty sure we played Gillingham, Palace, City, Spurs. Here we go. How is that for knowledge?
Well, we'll see.
We'll see. We're going to have to keep talking.
Talk amongst yourselves.
Are you on the right season?
No.
Well, anyway, I'm pretty positive that was 14, the cup 15, run, yeah. 14-15, off the top of my head. And yeah, like you say, we went to Spurs, Cowley, and it was the worst trip.
Oh, the worst, yeah. Well, I mean, we didn't get in until, 25 minutes.
It was a class trip. I really enjoyed the day.
Oh, it was a cracking day.
The day, free booze, first class.
Palace.
On the way down.
It might be, okay. So just end of October.
Just speak up, Si. Just speak up, please, for the listeners. Was I right there with that cup run?
Correct.
There's a big gap between the two games. That's why. Might be closer.
7 weeks between the fourth and fifth round. I didn't know there's such a big gap.
Aye.
But yes, that quarterfinal was an absolute disgrace.
Got beat 4-0. We left it 4-0 down. Never leave early, but I think Riviere missed like an open goal when we were still waiting to get in the ground. Like half the away didn't get in the ground until half an hour in. That
we were 1-0 down when we got in.
Yeah, when you hear the roar at the turnstile. Jack Rannick. Is it Jack or Ben? Jack.
It was Jack Rannick.
Jack Rannick. I don't know who Ben Rannick is then. But when you hear that, the roar, and you're in the turnstile, it's like, for fuck's sake.
We watched 45 minutes of football that day.
Travelled out to London, stayed overnight, spent about £400 to see Spurs reserves do a 4-0.
Had like four kebabs.
And then we're like, well, at least we'll beat the Magnums on Saturday because they're shite. Right. This has been the True Faith podcast. Thanks so much for listening. I think it's been a decent 40 minutes preview for such a one-sided game, allegedly. We'll be back on Sunday, hopefully with a very positive review about a very positive performance. Like I said, if anyone's got a spare ticket for Norman, give us or him a shout on social media. Thanks for listening, and thanks to Green Street and Sci.